been studying TULIP, or what we call the Way of Salvation. The last several weeks, we've been digging into this. And tonight we're going to continue, kind of, next slide. We've been talking about total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace. We haven't yet gotten to perseverance. And so tonight we're going to take a little bit of a rest stop. Next slide. So if you're on a highway, you're headed somewhere, you're on an interstate, you're going in a direction, you're still going there even when you get off, even when you get off at a rest stop. You're still headed there, but you're taking a bit of time, a break. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're still on the TULIP highway. We're still studying the Way of Salvation, but we're going to take a little break to dig into some other things. Not going to take us really away, but we're not going to go to perseverance tonight, Lord willing. Next week, we'll jump. So think of this like that rest stop on the highway. So we're asking tonight, why does it matter? Why do we care about TULIP or the doctrines that are encased in that acronym, that word? Why does it matter to us? Why did it matter to those who originated it? Why does it matter over the centuries that it's been around? Why does it matter? Tonight, next slide, please. Matter then, why did it matter yesterday, and why does it matter today? Three questions. First head, next slide, please. Why did it matter then? We're talking about now in the 1600s, a few years ago. Why did it matter then in the 1600s? Next slide. Move to the next slide.
I'm sorry.
So we'll break this up into three questions or three heads: the problem, the solution, the reason. We'll do that for each of them. And in the 1600s, we have to think of that man who came up with some teaching that wasn't really in accord with the scripture. He had some different ideas. In fact, they were false ideas of what the scripture taught. He taught his students this. This false doctrine arose. The students were hearing it. They were grabbing on to it. These students that followed their teacher loved this doctrine. And they thought the church was wrong in what it was proclaiming. And so ultimately, they bring what's called a remonstrance to the church, and they say, this is the correct doctrine, and we want the church not only to adopt it, but this should be the teaching. Well, what was the solution? Church calls a council, they want to study this issue, and the issue really was the Way of Salvation, what we've been studying. A council is when the entire church comes together in 16. Students, the followers of Arminius, the ones who were teaching the false doctrine, they were asking the church again to accept this doctrine, reviewing it, looking at it, considering it. They found that this was heretical, teaching the scripture. So those who brought this were ultimately excommunicated, sent away. They said, you're not even part of the church. Was the solution. And then they Way of Salvation. Man is totally depraved. That there's unconditional election by God's grace alone. There's limited atonement in Christ Jesus. Irresistible grace. Next slide. What was the reason? Why did they come to this conclusion? They didn't have 1 Peter. That's the verse you see in front of you, what the verse is. But this really formed the basis for what they did, the reason why they did. They wanted to honor Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them. Don't be troubled. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord. In reviewing what these men brought and finding that it was false and proclaiming it that way, they were honoring Christ. They were setting forth the true doctrine and publishing it to the entire church. They were honoring Christ Jesus. In a sense, they were making a defense we're called to do today. Back then, in the 1600s, 1619, they were making a defense by proclaiming the truth. And they were reviling or putting to shame those who brought the false doctrine. But in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason. This passage ends up by saying, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ, they were reviling Christ. And so they put those to shame who brought the false doctrine. If we're reviled, Christ is certainly reviled. You see, it did matter then. Next slide, please. Why did it matter yesterday? By yesterday, I mean from 1619 up to 2021, yesterday actually. From that time period, why did it matter before us? Again, we'll look at, next slide please, the problem, the solution, and the reason. Well, what was the problem during those 400 years? That false teaching didn't go away. They were able to sit where they sat in that time period and look and saw what happened as a result of that false doctrine not going away as it continued to be taught. That doctrine continued to be taught. That people were not totally corrupt. There was a wrong understanding in that teaching of the sovereignty of God. That he wasn't the one that drew people and by grace brought people into the kingdom. There was a complete lack of assurance as a result of this false doctrine. What could you rely upon? What did you trust in? Could you really be sure that you were going to enter into glory? No, not based upon that false doctrine. And as a result, there was no faith, a loss of faith. And if there's a loss of faith, there was a loss of salvation. That's the problem. They could see that over the years. So what did they do? They continued to teach the truth. They continued to proclaim against the false doctrine to lead people in the right way. Calvin's name becomes associated with these 5 points, the 5 points of Calvinism. And then that acronym, TULIP, is assigned so that people can remember. Do you see how the teaching was now sought to be fixed within the minds of those during the time? So people could remember. Excellent. Well, then, what was the reason they do this? Why did it matter? Consider Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. In those 400 years, these were the ministers of the gospel. They knew that God had raised them up to do just this, the work of ministry. That's what they were doing. When they were continuing to proclaim the truth, when they were continuing to show others that this false doctrine led to damnation, it led to no salvation, but the truth. truth, blood, the life in Christ Jesus. They knew that that was their work, and they knew that God had given it to them. Why? For the building up of the body of Christ. They pursued this to build up the church, to build up believers, to build up Jesus's bride. We all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro. You see, exactly what they were doing. As they were teaching, what they were doing was making sure that those in the church and around the church would not be tossed to and fro by this false doctrine. Every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful speech, ministering against those human doctrines, deceitful schemes, ensuring that the truth was proclaimed, Christ exalted. Next slide. So why does it matter today? And by today, I mean 2021, October, when is today? The 20th. What does it matter today? What does it matter to us? What does it matter for the future? Next slide. Come to the same things, the problem, the solution. Please. Too far. You could be here. We still have the problem, don't we? Today, the families, we have children. They're subject to attack. What's the solution? And what's the reason? Now you can turn to the next slide. I think this particular verse helps us and guides us. This is the passage about the talents, the master who leaves and gives his three servants talents to use, put to use, so that his wealth would grow. And when he returns, he asks them what they've done with it, and he wants to see what the results are. Lord Jesus Christ will return. And he's going to be asking us, what have we done? And as we think about today, as we think about tomorrow, as we think about our children, it matters. This doctrine matters. As we are sending them out, whether parents or the church, we are sending the children out, matters that they have the truth. They have the right doctrine, because they are going to be attacked at college, at universities, when they get their first job. Constant attacks, and they need to have the truth. Satan's going to be throwing arrows and darts in the forms of false doctrine, and they need that sword of the spirit. Truth. We need to give that to them. That's why this matters. Jesus returns, we want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to be able to be those who can profess to Jesus Christ, we loved your word, we told others about your word, we knocked down those false claims and lies of Satan. Jesus will say, I will set you over much. Faithful, even as we consider these doctrines and teaching that's necessary for our children and for our children's children, and as they grow up and children of their own, and we're dead, but they're continuing to proclaim the faith. Jesus Christ, that is a little. We set you over. Next brothers and sisters, that was a side trip, a rest stop. But that was encouraging. It was just some food for thought. Sometimes we get into teaching and we get immersed in it, and we're so immersed, we don't take a step back and look at the forest, so to speak. Why are we here? We're understanding the one verse, but why are we here? And that's a little bit of what tonight was about. This is why we're here. This is why we're standing. Praise be to God. He's given us the truth, us the opportunity to grow in it, tell others about
it. Amen.
Next week, Lord willing, we will jump back in. Perseverance, that will be the last of the five. And then the following week, we'll probably have a time for question and answer. So be writing down your questions if you have them. And we'll spend your time 2 weeks from now fielding your questions, giving answers, and having just kind of an open discussion about what we've done.